I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me. And I want to encourage your heart tonight. And I want to challenge us at the same time. Because I really feel tonight, I can sense the heart of your pastor. He and I really hadn't talked to anything because he's busy. And except to say, hey, Brother Steele, got you down. And everything's still home. That's about it. And because he's rolling, I'm rolling, but I just want to mind God, do what he said. Luke chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number 25. And when you find your place, let's stand together out of respect of the word of God. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 25. Lord, I feel breath from another world. Watch this now. The Bible said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thou salvation. I want to read verse 29 and 30 together, which is my text. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thou salvation. I really believe tonight, I stand before a group of people that really want to see God do something. I believe that with all my heart. I heard my man of God praying back in the prayer room, my preacher, and just wanting to see God do something. Well, I want to preach on the subject tonight. You've heard about him. Now it's time to see him. You've heard about him. Now it's time to see him. Father, I want to thank you so much tonight. What our hearts have felt and our ears have heard this night. I thank you for everything you have done, what you've been doing, and what you're going to do. I beg you to walk over this house, throw your weight around, bind every demon, bind every devil in hell. Anybody sipped in this place lost, bring them under conviction and save them by the grace of God. God, bring your kingdom on earth like it is up in heaven. Turn somebody's marriage around. Turn somebody's children around. Turn somebody's finances around. Turn somebody's health around. God, turn our nation around. God, we've heard about it. We just want to see you. Lord, I know you don't need me, but I sure need you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to jump right in this thing tonight because I really, Lord, I tell you, sometimes I'm on knees I know how to get God to come. And I'll tell you something, church. I don't care how, where you go. If you want to get God to come in your house, if you want to get God to come in your car, if you want to get God to come in this church, I can tell you how to do it. Now, in Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 3, the Bible said God inhabits the praises of Israel. The word inhabits means to come and set down. In other words, God said, if you want me to come, all you got to do is start praising my name. And if you start lifting me up and giving me glory and bragging up, oh, look, come here. Let me bring it where you can get it. I got 7 grandbabies. And them little ones, they know how to get pawpaw. And boy, that little Maya, she'll come and hug me. And she'll say, "Papa, I love you. Oh, Papa, I really love you. You ain't no Papa like you." And listen, and boy, when she started talking, my pockets start turning inside out. I said, "Baby, I can get all she wants. How she knows how to do it." I'm telling you tonight, when you come up to the King of Glory and begin to tell God how sweet he is, how precious he is, ain't nobody like you, God, I start emptying his pockets and bringing down blessings out of glory. I'm telling you right now, I don't know about you, but this is a day that the Lord has made. Since God made the day, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Anybody with me, say amen. Come here, boy. I was out soul winning some years ago, bro. And I was, when I got saved 38 years ago, I was going to Bethany Baptist Church. And my wife and I, you know, I've told you the story. When I got saved, a white gentleman named Danny Willis led me to Christ. I went to an all-white congregation for 4.5 years before we started New Life. And so Jesse Ray Long was my soul winning partner. I'll never forget me and Brother Jesse Ray. I alone was out soul winning. And on Thursday night, I knocked on the door. It was summertime like it is right now. I heard somebody around the side of the house. And they said, "We're around here. Come around the side." I went around the side of the house. There was an old gentleman sitting there on the picnic table. And I beer of overalls on. I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm Brother Steele from New Life, from Bethany Baptist, Brother Jesse Ray Long, my soul winning partner." I said, "We decided to let people know somebody loves them, cares something about them." I said, "You attend church anywhere?" And he said, "Yeah." I go, I'm a primitive Baptist pastor. I said, "Wonderful." I asked preachers the same thing. I asked everybody else. I said, "If you died right now, are you 100% sure are you going to go to heaven?" Well, he said, "Young men's like this." He said, "Can't nobody know you're going to heaven when you die." He said, "Your soul going to sleep. And then one day God going to bring out this big old scale. And he's going to put your good deeds on one side and your bad on the other side. If you're good outweigh your bad, you're going to go to heaven. If you're bad outweigh your good, and then you'll go to hell." Preacher, I didn't want to be disrespectful. And I wasn't. But I really want to tell him what he just told me. It came from the pit of hell. But I didn't say nothing. And so I said to him, I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful." I said, "But I'm going to tell you something." I said, "Now I want you to answer me a question." I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 said, "To be absent from the body is present with the Lord." I tell him, "If you're saved." I said, "Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 said, the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout." Now think about it. If God's up in heaven and I'm absent from my body and present with the Lord, where am I going to be? He scratched his head. He said, "Young man, I've been working some long hours. I can't get my mind to work right." Hey, his mind might not have been clicking, but thank God that book was clicking. If you're saved by the grace of God and washed in Calvary's blood, when you check out of here, you're checking up there. And that's something to shout about. Am I right about it, church? Now, I better get this to you. I'll mess around and get stuck. Glory to God. Let me show you something tonight. Let me show you something. Now, I got a few dollars here in my pocket. I don't know how many. It ain't nothing but a, so don't rush me. Ain't nothing but a bunch of ones. But I promise you this. I can ask every child in this room, how many of you want this money? And they would raise their hand. I could take it and twist it and ask them, how many of you still want this money? They'd raise their hand. I could throw it on the floor and stomp on it. Ask them, how many want it? They said, I still want it. And then I could take it and poof, and spit on it. I said, how many want it? And they would raise their hand and said, I want it. Why? Because no matter if I twist it up and I stomp on it and I spit on it, and bless God, it still has not lost its value. What I want you to know that some of you have been stepped on and spit on and lied on and listen, kicked to the curb, and yet God, when everybody else gave up on you, there's a God in heaven that saw the value that was in you. I'm glad to know tonight I got a God that loves me in spite of what people think. I got a God that died for me. He loves me. Somebody help me tonight. Now let me get into this. Y'all keep pushing me the other way. I'm trying to get into my text. Oftentimes, when I travel the nation, preacher, I've sat with pastors, and they said to me, "Preacher Steele, you going to do what?" I remember we was building the Dream Center, big gymnasium, all this. I remember, and that's right when everybody lost their jobs. And nobody, all our church, over half of them sitting there with no job. They said, "You going to do what?" I was a preacher. I ain't going to tell you where it was at. But he said, "Man, I ain't doing nothing till this whole thing clears up." I said, "Well, God done told me what he want me to do." And he said, "Well, I ain't moving." Can I tell you something? I hear that often. I had people talk about, as though God has dried up and died somewhere. Now, I think there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. But I know this, the same God that was in the past, it's the same God that's right now. And whatever God done before, I serve a God that can do it again. You got a God like that, say amen. Amen. In our text, Simeon, my sister, Simeon had been somewhere alone with God, and he was reading that word of God. And he'd been reading that Old Testament Pentateuch. I believe he might have read Isaiah 9:6. "I behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But Isaiah 9:6, he said his name going to be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And Simeon said, "Lord, I've been reading this Bible for a long time, and I want to see you. I've heard about you, but I've never seen you." Dear, and then he prayed, preacher, and he asked God, said, "God, would you let me not die? And before I laid my eyes on the Lord's Christ, I've heard about him, but I've never seen him. Would you let me not die before I see God?" Somebody up in here, I ought to be so desperate to see God in a way you never seen God before, that you ought to be praying, "God, don't let me die until I see the Lord's Christ. Let me see you. I know we're going to see him in his splendor when he comes in the rapture." I'm talking about God's work while we're right here on earth. Somebody ought to get desperate enough. Somebody ought to get to a place that they want to see God before they check out. Well, if you read our text, Luke chapter number 2, the Bible said, verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." And look at verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The Holy Ghost says, "Simeon, you ain't going to die until you see him. You heard about him. Now it's time to see him." And then Mary and Joseph, I brought Jesus into the temple. And Simeon, that man of God, heard that he was in the temple. He walked down to the temple, reached down, grabbed up the King of Glory, and held them in his hands, looked up to heaven, and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thou salvation. I've heard about him. Now I've seen him for myself." Oh, tonight, I don't know how much time God gonna let me stay on this planet. I know this. I told God, "Preacher, don't let me die full, but let me die empty. God, don't let me get to heaven and find out what you could have done. I could have did this. I would have done that. I would have done this. God, before I check out, let me come into heaven empty. Don't let me die full. Everything you can do in this old vessel I've got, in this life I've got, God, let me see it before I check out of here." Somebody in the house ought to be telling God, "I've heard about you. Now I want to see you for myself." Oh, somebody. Let me give you three places that I want to see him. Number one, I want to see him in saving sinners. I want to see him in saving sinners. The Bible said, the Bible said in Romans 5:20, you can write this down. Moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound. But where sin has abounded, grace has much more abound. God said, I don't care how much sin that you got, I got more grace than you got sin. Oh, somebody help me in the house. You ought to thank God for that, that he got more grace than you got sin. Whoa! Hey, come in. Hey, let me show it to you. I was going to quote it, but let me show you. This is so good. Woo! Good God. You know how you take a puppy, hold him in your hand, they want to lick y'all in the face. It's what this verse does to me. It just lick you. Whoa! Come here. Revelation. Come on, boy. You can do this. Look at Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 6. Let me show you something right here. In Revelation chapter number 1. And look at verse number 6 in the book of Revelation 1. The Bible said, now, Revelation 1, 5, I'm sorry. Write that down. Revelation 1, 5. I want to show you something here. This is good stuff. Now, you haven't found Revelation yet. Here's some Bible. Still turning. You ought to be able to get there by now. If you ain't got there, fake it till you make it. Okay. Why I was down in Charlotte soul winning preacher, a little old man, he's up in the age. I said to him, sir, I said, I'm Brother Steele from New Life Baptist Church. We're out in the neighborhood. I letting people know somebody loves them and cares something for them. I said, do you go to church anywhere? Oh yeah, I go to church. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, good to know you're going to church. But if you died right now, 100% you'll go to heaven. He said, I don't know it and you don't either. I said, if I could take the Bible and show you how you could know it, I said, would you believe God? He said, look, I haven't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It ain't in there. So some of you might, if you want to call it resolution, go ahead. But it's Revelation. Now, look at Revelation 1:5. The Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let me show you why that verse is so important. As some of you mamas, have you ever had one of your babies or grandbabies run you and they fall over in the mud? And the first thing they do is come running, mama, mama, mama. And you say, hold it, back up. Don't you put all that mud on me? I said, wait a minute. You let me get them clothes off of you and clean you up with some clean clothes. Then you can hug mama. Well, that ain't what God said. Look what the verse said. The Bible said this in this verse. Notice, unto him that, look at the end of that verse, unto him that loved us and washed us. He didn't wash us and love us. He loved us and then he washed us. Whenever you come to Jesus with your mess, you know, when you come to him, he don't say, back up, let me clean you up first. He said, no, bring it on. I'm glad God don't turn nobody off. I'm telling God, why, hey, I want to see God. I can save sinners. Can he do a church? Say amen right there. Watch this. I used to work at McGuire Nuclear Station where I got saved. And they had me teaching the Bible. I taught the Bible on that job for 7 years. Preaching while everybody else ate lunch. I taught the Word of God. We had people called to preach. Missionaries on the mission field. I mean, people pastoring churches, evangelists, folks saved right there on the job. And so one of our ladies that got saved, I went to this, one of the ladies that came to our meeting, worked with us, went to our house, showed her how to be saved. And so her husband named Thurman, and she said, preacher, he said, would you go talk to my husband? I was still working, and I pastored and worked for 4.5 years. But anyway, I went to his house, and he just sort of gave me a little old false something to get me out of his house. He told her, said, I tell you right now, if he hadn't been a friend of yours, I'd have thrown him out of here. Well, he told her, I was kind to him. Well, we had a revival like we're having right now. And preacher J.P. Barber was preaching for me, and 8 of us got together on that job. And we said, "Dear God," we began to pray and ask God to save Thurman. I said, every time he see me on the job, he look and see me coming, he take off the other way. Anywhere he go, another door, he go out that door. Let's get away from me. And so Sally and Thurman, he had been to church one time. He told us, "I ain't never coming back." Well, this week prayed for him, and I looked, didn't see Sally nowhere. And boy, listen, it wasn't long. I saw her and Thurman come in the back. They come in the back, and Thurman, he made a tragic mistake that day. You know what happened to him, preacher? What he done, I shook his hand, hugged him, told him that he'd come. I said, "Man, make yourself, sit down any way you want to." And he backed up and sit right down in the lap of the Holy Ghost. Brother Papa preached the word of God, gave the invitation. Here he come, crying down to the altar. And I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Man, I want to be saved, man." And one of our men took the Bible, led Thurman to Christ. Well, everybody shouted and rejoiced, but except Sally. What I didn't know was this. Thurman had set out a 6-pack of beer and a bag of marijuana and told her, "I'm going to church with you for the last time. I want my beer cold and I want my weed so I can get high when I get back." Well, all the way up 73. They lived out there on 16, 73 and 16. And so all the way there, Sally said, he took the key, opened the door, and went inside. And boy, and he went to the refrigerator, got out a 6-pack, and she thought, "Oh no." And he started popping the tops and started pouring them all down the sink. And he took the bag of marijuana, took it to the bathroom, and kaploosh, flushed it down the commode. And boy, that's been almost 30 years ago. He's one of my deacons, one of my bus drivers. I said, "Hey," I told Brother Thurman, I said, "Hey, do you ever think you can go back?" He said, "Preacher, it's so good on this side. Thank God he's drinking, but he's drinking from another fountain that I never run dry. Somebody help me now." Well, I could tell you some stories of people I've seen God break down. Whoa! I've seen God do it through the years. I remember, let me tell you one more, and I'm moving to my second point, and then I throw the Jake breaks on and be done. Whoa! I remember we had this guy, this big old white gentleman on our job. We worked together. We used to try to give him chick tracks and all the big green tracks, all he, and I ain't want none of that. So he told me, he said, "I got a cousin that's coming from Fayetteville," because he lived up here in Denver. "I'm coming from Fayetteville." He said, "I already know he's going to come with that Jesus stuff. I'm going to be waiting on him." What he didn't know, God had a plan. He made a mistake, bro, and let us a little girl that's 4 or 5 years old go to Sunday school. And he said that Friday morning, early in the morning, before he came to work, he said, he looked up and always checked on his baby. She wasn't there. He panicked. Looked all over the house, called her name, finally went in the bathroom. She had the light cut off. And he said, "Baby, what in the world are you doing over here in this bathroom?" She looked up at him, little old tears, them big old pretty eyes, and said, "Daddy, I don't want to see you go to hell." He said, when she said that, because I didn't know who he was. He come to church, come to work, had a haircut, cleaned up, all this stuff. I said, "What in the world?" And I didn't recognize him because he had hair way down his back. I understand God done that for him. But what I'm telling you is this. How he said, "Preacher, when my baby said she didn't want to go to hell," I said, something hit me right in the heart. I said, I got down on my knees, asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins and come in my heart and save me. I'm glad, God, I want to see God and how I can save all sinners. Anybody believe God can save sinners? Say amen right there. Amen. If you don't think God can save a sinner, tell your neighbor on whichever side you choose, say, "Look at me." Tell them, say, "Look at me." Tell your other neighbor, say, "Look at me." If God can save somebody like you, then God can save anybody. Somebody help me. Woo. You see, I tell you, number two, I want to see him how he takes care of his people. I want to see God and how he can provide for his people. You know, when we leave here in a little bit, What's going to happen is this. Some of you are going to get you, if you live in a city, going to get you a sandwich. Live in the country, going to get you a sandwich. Which when you leave him. But I'll tell you something. Nobody up in here is going to pull up at a restaurant and start ordering food and don't have no money to pay for it. Now, if you ain't going to stop unless you know you got some money. Well, some friends of mine was down at the bus station down there in Charlotte. And they was passing out tracts and witnessing. And they had a man showing him how to be saved. Well, it wasn't long while I was standing there. Here come a man running past him. And he got up between the building. And wasn't long, here come two police officers. And so he was trying to, Romans 6:23, and the police said, "Sir, you see a man run by here?" He said, "He's over there." And he kept right on. And he threw him a man under the bus, what he done. He said, "Right over there." And so they run past the guy, and they turn around, come back, and they said, "Hey, what you say that guy is?" They said, "Look, his shoe's sticking out. He's right there." And so they went and locked the guy up. And what he done, he went in the Hilton Hotel and ordered one of them big old T-bone steaks and a baked potato and a salad and some strawberry shortcake and tea and just had himself a feast and didn't have a dime of money and jumped up and ran. I promise you this. You'll never see two police officers running down the street trying to see which way God went because God ordered something that he couldn't pay for. Ain't nobody going to ever chase God down. I said, if God ever ordered something, it's already done. Am I right about it? Let me give you some scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All of the promises of God in him a yes and amen. In other words, if God promised you something, you ain't got to wait till it happened to start shouting. You can go ahead and start shouting before it's happened because it's going to happen. Why? Numbers 23:19, write this down. For God is not a man, he should lie. Are the son of man, he should repent. Have God not spoken it? Have he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Watch this class. I want you to know something. Mama told me, brother, when I was a little old boy, Mama said, "Look, boy, you might have but a few sets of clothes and a few pieces of shoes here and there, and Mama's struggling to take care of you. But one thing I want to ask you to do for me," she said, "boy, keep a good name." And she said, "Your word is your bond." She said, "What makes your name good is your word is good." Hey, well, whoa, come in. Well, Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's far above every name." And in other words, Jesus has a name that's far above every name. But look with me in Psalms 138, the 138th Psalm. Remember in your mind, he has a name that's far above every name. Psalm 138, and look at verse number 1. The 138th Psalm, verse 1 and verse number 2. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible said, "I will praise thee with my whole heart, and before thy gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy love, for thy loving kindness, and for thy truth." Don't miss this class. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name." God said, "Look, I put my word above my name." Why did God put the word above his name? Because what makes God's name good is his word is good. Somebody help me in the house. So if God promises something, don't worry about how it's going to turn out. Because it's going to turn out. As Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and they that are called according to his purpose. purpose. Don't miss this. He said, all things work together for the good. If it ain't turned out good yet, God ain't done with it yet. Because God's, when I get done, it's going to turn out good. If it ain't good yet, don't give up yet. It ain't going to stop until it gets good. Somebody help me in the house. You said, preacher, why am I going through so much stuff? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, let me show you. See if I can find something in here to maybe show you what I'm talking about. Yes. You want to know why it seemed like things just you're dealing with this and always dealing with that and dealing with this and dealing with that and dealing with this. Well, I wanted to show you something else, but I'll just bring this out. Now, I might have showed this to you, but I told you, if I took these kernels right here and opened this bag up and start on this front row and say, all right, men, on the count of three, eat all those kernels. Nobody wants no kernels. But I can take this same popcorn, put it in the microwave, and run in a few seconds, pop, 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 and it wouldn't make it to the end. You smoke it. Well, you'd eat it all. Now, they got new words now. My little niece told me, said, Paul, I say, Uncle Tommy said, what we done, we smoked that chicken. I ain't never heard no word smoking. I thought, man, smoke is when you smoke. But she said, we smoking. That's the new word now. But watch this. Every one of these kernels have moisture on the inside. And what happened is, when that thing heats up a certain temperature, it turns into steam. And that steam starts, I said, whoa, 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 ha, ha, pop, a pop, a pop, a pop, a pop, a pop. And before you know it, you're eating popcorn. What I want you to understand is this, that sometimes God has something on the inside of you that God needs to get out of you. So God lets the pressure come on you and bring out of you how somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs what God done for you. I'm telling you right now that God's in control. You need to just lay back. Rest in the grace of God and watch God provide for his people. Anybody in here have a witness? God taking care of you. Say amen right there. Preacher, me and Matt just came in from Nashville, Tennessee. We went out to Charlotte Airport. We go down that tunnel to get on that plane. Now, when you get on the airplane, my little bag overnight deal. Hey, bro, when you get on a plane, ain't but two ways to go. You can turn left and go in the cockpit, or you can do like I do. Go back here, find your seat, and sit down and like you got some sense. And just sit down back there. Why? Because I don't know how to drive no plane. I don't need to get in no cockpit. Good God, I kill everybody on the deal. And so what I do is I just go back and sit down and this let the man do his deal. That's what he knows how to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something, bro. I've wrecked my life so many times. I've turned it upside down. I've made a mess out of my life. And when Jesus invited me up in the grace of God, I said, yes, Lord, here I come. I came up in there. I didn't make no left. I made a right. I sat down the grace of God. I said, Jesus, you can drive my life. I'll let you be in control. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. Oh, good God Almighty. Somebody help me in the house. You ought to sit back in the grace of God and let God take care of his people. Can he do it, church? Let me tell you this and I'll quit. Give me about 5 or 10 minutes and I'll be done. When I was growing up, when I was 16 years of age, I had a 1964 Ford. I had a Galaxy 500. And I took up mechanic class. I put that car, it had hit a post. I put new fenders, bumpers, and boy, I took it to a hot rod. I took that engine apart. My preacher teacher told me, so you can bring your engine and rebuild it in here. I took it apart. He watched me as I rebuilt it. I bored it out 30,000. Some of you men know 30 over. New pistons. I put Cobra Jet heads on it. I put a cam in it. I had that Harder carburetor, double pumper on that thing. I had a hood scoop. I had M50 tires on the back, Keystone mags all the way around it, high back seats, and I painted it sky blue, put spider web in it. You couldn't tell me nothing. and I had my big old afro. And I told my mama, I said, "Mama, ain't nobody riding this car but you and my girlfriend." Well, no, long I lost a girlfriend and didn't have no car. But let me tell you something. I had a friend of mine that was always say, every time he saw a hot rod, he said, "Steel, hey man, I saw this car. I mean, boys, she had two tunnel rams on and all this stuff, and we couldn't wait to see it." Well, 38 years ago, I heard somebody blow the horn. I looked over, it was Jesus. And he said, "Son, I want you to come ride with me." I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "You've been riding with everybody else. Why don't you come ride with me?" I said, "I'll ride with you, Jesus." And when I got in, preacher, I found out, I think you could get in, but wasn't no handles to get out. And we took off. I said, "Lord, where are we going?" He said, "Roll with me, son." I said, "Good. Lord, you see that valley?" He said, "Boy, I make low places high." I said, "Lord, look at that mountain." He said, "I make high places low." I said, "Look at that curve." He said, "I make crooked places straight." He said, "Boy, you roll with me. Hey, you may go through some valleys. You may go through some high places. You may go through some low places. But as long as I'm driving this car, everything's already all right." Hey, anybody up in here can witness that God has done everything he said and a whole lot more. Somebody help me in the house. Lastly, I want to see him in saving sinners. I can stay there all night at one point. I want to see him in providing for his people. Then number three, I want to see him in revival. I want to see God in revival. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just go ahead and give you a verse that all of you know already. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they'll hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. Forgive their sin, and I will heal the land." I was preaching up in Asheville at the Richland Baptist Church, Pastor Jack Galloway. And I was, and Brother Rab Sexton Jr.'s sister was there, and her husband was playing the piano. And she walked up to me and said, "Brother Steele, would you go over to Dad's house?" I said, "Dad's sick, Rab Sr. Would you go over to Rab Sr., go over to his house?" I said, "Dad's sick, would you go pray for him?" I said, "I sure will." I roll up there to Rap Senior's house. And before I got there, I went by, Lord, about to forget his name, the black preacher. He's on 100.9. He's in heaven now. But anyway, I went by his house. He was eating eggs and bacon. And that, early that morning, he throwed eggs and bacon everywhere shouting. But anyway, Wesley Grant, that's what it was. But anyway, I went over to Rap Senior's house. And I walked in and his wife met me at the door. And she said, "How you doing, Brother Steele?" I said, "Look, sis, I didn't come by to stay but a moment. I said, I just want to pray for your husband." And she said, "Let me go get him." Had a long hallway. I saw that saint of God come walking down that hallway. I grabbed him and gave him a hug and told him. He said, "Good to see you, Brother Steele." He said, and he got a box and started giving me all kinds of books and tapes, books. I said, "Doc, I didn't come here for this stuff. I said, I come here just to pray for you. I know you hadn't been well. I just want to pray, 82 years of age. I said, just want to pray for you. Watch this." He said, "Brother Steele, can I tell you something before you pray?" I said, "Go ahead, Doc, talk to me." He said, "Brother Steele, I remember in these mountains up here in Asheville, we had such great revivals." He said, "We had Mordecai Ham on one side and J. Harold Smith on the other side." He said, "When the meeting was over, over 5,000 people were saved by the grace of God." He told me about the Wells revival. The Wells revival. And that old man, before I could get a breath out of up to heaven to pray for him, I watched him take them little hands, feeble hands, and raise them up to heaven. And I never forget him saying, Oh God, I just told Brother Steele, what you did in J. Howell Smith and Mordecai Ham, the same God that was back there is the same God that was right now. God, would you let Brother Steele die? Don't let him die for he see God, what I just told him about. God, use him to reach thousands of souls by the grace of God. God, fill him with your power. God, fill him with your anointing. Oh, God, rend the heavens again. God, do it again. That little old man stretched his hands out to heaven. I walked out of his house. I was as drunk as I could be. I'm talking about on the Holy Ghost. I come down 40 from actual tears running down my face, saying, oh God, let me see it. Oh God, don't let me die full. God, let me die empty. God, let me see you save souls like never before. And I'm telling you, church, ever since that man's prayed that on me, I've been seeing people saved like I've never seen it before. Our church has experienced it. And I'm telling you tonight, God sent me up here tonight. He said, I believe with all my heart, there's some people in this room who've been reading this book and shouting about it and praising about it and singing about it and teaching about it. And now you want to see it for yourself. And I challenge you tonight, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your burdens are, you bring those burdens and lay them on the altar. First thing you do is grab a promise out of the Word of God. Find a promise of what you're dealing with. And then bring that burden and lay it on the altar. Then take God's promise and put over top of your problem. And then you sit down on the promise and ride it right through your problem. Good God. Woo-hoo! If you ever get a hold of that, it'll change your day. And I said to come tonight in one of these days. Hell, you're here. That wild mouth, crazy old steel. If Jesus tired is coming, you're checked out and went in the glory. But boy, before I leave out of here, I want to be able to check this old black back 66 double barrel shotgun M1611 King James Bible lay across my chest and walk up to the throne of God and say, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thou salvation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for your wonderful people. I love everybody in this room with all of my heart. Not just saying that. I mean that from my heart. These are my brothers and sisters. We're going to spend eternity together. But they know just like I know, there's a mess in our nation. There's a mess in our communities. There's a mess in our families. There's a mess in our churches. But I pray there'll be a revival that will start right here in Rundle Baptist Church that'll set a fire across this nation, because a group of people are men and women whose hearts that God has touched had made up in their mind that I've heard about it. Now I want to see him for myself. And God, we begin to pass out tracts and invite our families and loved ones to Jesus, to the house of God, like we never have before. And Father, we'll know that we got a God that can pay for what he orders. And God, send revival. I want to see you in revival. God, do it again. For you're able to do exceeding abundantly all that we can even ask to think. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.